Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along, it's the third part of the Noakes Odyssey, looking at John Noakes of Blue Peter fame and Go With Noakes. And also we're finally going to look at the epic scaling of Nelson's Column that he did on Blue Peter in 1977. Before we do that, I've just been doing a bit more research since last week's episode about the whole fallout of when John Noakes left Blue Peter and who Shep should go and live with and the payment, the stipend that he was given by the BBC, and John Noakes's distaste for Biddy Baxter and bitterness and all that. And there's a Telegraph feature that I found. He alleged that the pair, he and Shep, were forced apart by the BBC, who regarded Shep as a prized asset. And Noakes did end up keeping Shep, but he gave the dog away. He relinquished Shep. And that was when he decided to leave Britain on his sailing adventure. And that was because it wouldn't be appropriate for Shep to go around the world on a boat, apparently. Shep was rehomed with Edith Menzies, but she regularly looked after Blue Peter pets, so that was very much a second home for Shep. So, you know, we were quite concerned that John had just cast Shep aside
into the wilderness, released him into
the
woods.
Wilderness, just to this random figure who was named on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah,
it's Edith Menzies. But she was, of course.
Imagine if part I of mean, the I don't know if she's still alive, but imagine a story she'd have to tell. Edith Menzies. Imagine if she'd written a book. Do you know what I mean? My life with the BBC's, some of the BBC's most famous animals. They all lived with me in my celebrity pet home.
Probably better than John Noakes's magical clog children's story that he wrote.
My mum had a mate, and they met in quite an interesting way, actually I better not talk about why, but they knew each other when they were young, and then one day we were walking around the shops in Hammersmith when I was little, and my mum walked around a corner and someone shouted her name in shock. And my mum looked round, and they'd both not seen each other since they were 16. I suppose my mum was probably in her early 40s by this stage. And they both started, like, crying and embracing. It was, like, a really emotional and dramatic moment that I witnessed. I was like, oh, this is incredible. And then she told me the backstory of how they'd met and how they knew each other and why they hadn't seen each other for years. And my mum said, what are you up to now, as you do? And she said, I'm a dog groomer. And she went, oh, that must be interesting. Well, I remember you like dogs. She went, yeah, I love dogs. I own, like, a number of poodles, and I specialise in grooming poodles for other people. And she went, oh, right. And then, anyway, whatever, my mum must have said who are your clients, whatever. And she's gone. And I'm standing there, like, you know when your mum bumps into someone at the shops? You're fucking really, it's exasperating. So
the longest
boring.
Time, isn't it?
My kids are the same now. If I bump into someone when I'm out and about, especially my son, it's just like, oh, fuck's sake. Now he's going to stand and talk shit and I'll be bored out of my mind. Yeah. So I was there thinking, this is boring. And then she gives it, oh, you know Rowley out of EastEnders? Yeah, that's one of my main clients. I go and groom him. I groom him on set. And I was like, like, EastEnders was only in its first like year or two, but Rowley was a, was yeah, Rowley was one of the big breakout stars.
Yeah, of course.
And I still think, the my mum's still dog. Friends with her now. And occasionally she says, oh, I went to see Carol the other day. And I go, oh. Obviously, I've stopped saying that she still groomed Rowley, because Rowley must have been Rowley, dead about 20 years at least, right?
Yeah.
But I always have to bring up Rowley. I go, ah, see if she's got any good Rowley stories.
You worked with Leslie Grantham on his final ever television job, didn't you?
Yeah.
Before he died.
Yeah.
Did you mention Rowley?
No, I forgot to mention it.
Oh,
I don't know how he would have responded. Go, remember Rowley? Yeah, of course I fucking remember Rowley. Yeah, well, my mum's mate groomed Rowley when...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember her? No. All right, well, that's that conversation over with.
Oh, yeah, I see. Very good.
Well, what do you want from me? Money? Money, is it? What she said again? About me. She got dirt on me, I suppose. Oh, well, join the fucking queue. And I can tell you right now, if it's money you're after, well, I ain't got none. So you can forget about that.
I'm living in Budapest now.
No, I'm just telling you to make conversation. Yeah, well, don't.
Where was it he was living that he went back
Bulgaria,
to?
Bulgaria. But he wasn't living Bulgaria. In Bulgaria. He went, it was just before Christmas. And I went, what are you up to for Christmas, Leslie? And he looked at me as if it was a mad question, went, going to Bulgaria. And I was like, oh, why is that then? He went, well, it's where all my mates are. And I was like, all right. And so off he went with the money we'd paid him. And next thing we knew, he was dead. So, bit of a shame I didn't get to discuss Rowley and the grooming situation with him. But like I say, I don't think he would have engaged with it.
He was
very nice. But he might have been like, listen, a lot of bad things happened. There are a lot of rumours flying around and a lot of allegations have been made about my time on EastEnders. And so I do get jumpy and sensitive when people bring up random figures from my past.
Didn't you do time in prison for shooting a man, Leslie? Yeah, I talk about that.
Well, we've all made mistakes,
haven't we? It's the EastEnders rumours that bother me. They're the big ones.
Who can say they haven't shot a cabbie? Hey, in their life, or at least very much wanted to. No, fair enough. You're right.
It's all about the choices you make, isn't it?
Don't throw stones, Sam. That's the advice I'm going to leave you with. You're in a glass house. Put the stones away. You wouldn't like me to go digging into your past, would you, Sam? Seeing how many cabbies you've shot. Well, I haven't shot any. Well, that's what I used to say till I got caught. Now I have to admit it. You're not going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, I've shot a cabbie. But if I go digging and I know how to dig and I get the evidence...
Trust me.
Then what are you going to say? Just admit it now, maybe. Say me the bother and you the embarrassment. All right, I've shot a cabbie.
I've got this legal document that I've pre-printed. It's got your name on it. It says, I, the undersigned, Sam Delaney, confess herewith to the shooting of... And then I've left it blank. You can fill the number in yourself. Cabbies between the years of 1975 and the present date as stated on this document. Yours faithfully, and then you sign the bottom.
Now,
there you go.
This is called an Afro David, and while it is not legally binding in the UK justice system, which, by the way, is completely backward, it counts for a lot in Bulgaria. In Bulgaria, this would be enough to see you banged up on a fucking 20 stretch, minimum. And let me tell you, Bulgarian Nick is no fucking tea party. You'd be fucking... I tell you what, people in Bulgarian Nick fucking dream of doing 30 years in Brixton, right? They dream of it like kids dream about Disneyland.
Oh, by the way, my FIFA today, do I get that before Christmas? Because I'm going to need it.
I'm going to need it because there's a lot of pals in Bulgaria that want presents.
It's probably going to get a bit hairy, you know what I mean? People might die.
Do yourself a favour. Don't ever come even near the Bulgarian border, because if you do, I'll be waiting there with this Afro David. Listen, Leslie, I don't know what I've done to upset you today, but I've actually always regarded you as a bit of a hero. And I don't know where all this anger is coming from. You know, you want me to confess to a series of murders that I didn't commit. Right. It's just like madness. Just take your money and go to Bulgaria. Let's just both wipe our faces and crack on with life. No, you've upset me, Sam. It was all that talk of that dog groomer that you claim to know.
You set me off. Getting back to John Noakes, when he got the lookalike dog called Skip for the dog food commercial.
Yeah.
Skip went and lived with the family as well. He adopted Skip after that. So he had Shep and Skip. Both dogs were relinquished when he went to live on a yacht and go around the world.
I had to do a double relinquishing. A dual relinquish.
And there's a little bit from John Noakes's widow, Vicky.
Oi. Oi. Calm down, Dawson. Yeah, calm down. She's, the widow Noakes.
In Mallorca.
In Mallorca. Fucking hell, ticking a lot of boxes for you.
Yeah. They visited Shep. They settled in Mallorca, him and his wife, but they visited Shep shortly before Shep's death in 1987. And Mrs. Noakes said, "We'd just been down to see Shep. By this time, he had stomach problems and was pretty much blind. But as soon as he heard John's voice, whoosh, down the path he went like a bullet and they were reunited. They were good mates and John loved him." So that's nice.
No.
That's a nice ending. But, you know, Shep must have missed him so much after he'd been relinquished. It's bittersweet, isn't it, really, I suppose?
Fuck me. The other day, right, I was in the Vita Modula podding with you. And my dog Cookie is like very needy, and if you even leave the room sometimes she freaks out, but she's particularly attached to my wife, right? And so my good wife had gone out somewhere and the dog was left in the house with my daughter. And when the dog is just with one of the kids, I don't think she's like, she knows they love her, but she also knows that they're fucking lazy and can't be arsed. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so she doesn't feel, she feels almost, she acts semi like she's on her own in the house if she's with one of the kids, because she's just thinking, these kids will be fucking useless if anything kicks off, right?
Yeah.
And then my daughter had to go out to meet her mates, and she left the dog in the house. And I was here in the Vita Modula, she could see me.
Out of the weir, yeah.
But... my daughter had, for some fucking daft reason, shut the door to the living room, so the dog was locked in the hallway, right? And when I... And this dog, by the way, we've not left her on her own yet. We've had her, 7 months, practically, right? Mm. And she's never been left on her own, not even really for 10 minutes. There's always been someone in the house. And if we go anywhere, there's a couple of families nearby who'll dog-sitter for us, right? So she's going to stay with my brother-in-law while we're away. And... But there will be someone staying in my house in case you're thinking of robbing it. And I tell you what as well, they're nasty cunts. But anyway, I'll be back by the time
three
this
of
goes out.
Brothers.
Yeah, horrible bastards. Like, they've all done time in Broadmoor, right? They're like nutters, unstable. I know that's not politically correct. It's just the truth. I need three unstable...
That was introduced to them by Leslie Grantham.
I need three unstable nutters to house sit for me while I'm gone. Anyway, when I came back in the house, the dog was like crying and howling like a wolf, Andy.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And all it was she'd just been on her own for like... 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It was really worrying. I had to cuddle her and calm her down for like... I had to cradle her like a baby and cuddle her for about
have to
like
not
5 minutes.
Just learn to leave, be on
yeah,
our own at
some
point.
We will at
point,
some
though.
Point, yeah.
Surely.
We will have to, yeah. We'll have to, but she will make a big fuss the first few times. It won't be nice. Yeah. But, you know,
it's like when you're supposed to, like,
leave a baby
train
to
your
cry.
Baby to stop crying. You've got to sit outside the bedroom door.
I know people do that. But me personally,
couldn't do that
I
for
thought,
very long.
Listen, I've had this baby, right? I've had a baby because I want to love and nurture it. And I feel that my role is to make it feel secure, safe and loved. So I could just never personally, not that I'm judging anyone else who does it, me personally, I couldn't get behind the whole leave the cunt to cry. Why? Well, because then it'll fucking know that life is painful and you're just ultimately alone. But I don't want my baby to learn that this early. Well, it fucking has to. Oh, I just want to give it a cuddle. Don't. Don't. You'll make the baby soft. I want my baby to be soft, fuck's sake. So, yeah, I couldn't do that. Works for a lot of people. I couldn't manage it.
Yeah, we did it for a while, but you can't do it. It's hard.
It's fucking nightmarish. I couldn't do it with a dog. You're supposed to train a dog like that. Now the dog keeps in my room. The main thing is I get a better night's sleep, which is more important than anything else, really.
Yeah, the dog is completely in control of your life now.
Yeah, it is. What, I wonder where Shep slept. Do you reckon Noxy would have, like, been quite strict about not letting Shep upstairs, or...?
Definitely. Definitely.
Don't even look at those stairs, Shep.
Yeah, basket. A nice basket in the kitchen.
Basket, now!
He probably lived in a cottage in the country and he'd have one of them big kitchens.
Yeah.
A kitchen diner, and Shep would have had a basket. Maybe next to the fire.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
In the corner of the kitchen, yeah.
Oh, that sounds nice. That's the sort of life I'd like. Cottage in the country with a big kitchen diner and a dog in a basket by the fire. You're speaking my fucking language, mate. I want the John Noakes lifestyle.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Jalapeño.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a T-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Jalapeño.
Should we start looking at this video of him climbing up Nelson's Column then?
Yeah.
I feel as though we should get to that at some point. So it's on BBC Archives YouTube channel. And it's the title of it is 1977. John Noakes, capital letters, scaling Nelson's Column is terrifying! Also in capital letters. /Blue Peter/classic clips/BBC Archive. And it was uploaded a year ago, and it's had over 500,000 views. Quite right. And the job is to clean up the pigeon droppings that accumulate in Nelson's Column. And he's up there with no safety harness, no helmet, nothing. It starts quite inauspiciously because he gets a lift up from this fella, Reg, who's taking him up there. You can't even get onto the bottom base of the.
Like I said on the previous episode, Reg looks like a sort of side character from the Sweeney.
Yeah.
Probably one of the baddies, but not like a really bad one. Just a mechanic who sometimes shifts stuff or stores stuff for the main baddies. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Operates as a kind of a grass as well sometimes.
Yeah. He's a snout. Oh no, Mr. Regan. No, it's nothing like that. I was just asked to keep this for a few nights. I had no idea it was stolen, Mr. Regan. No, I wouldn't be able to tell you their names. I don't think they told me their names, to be honest. Come on. Come on, Reg. Do you expect me to believe that two men whose names you didn't even ask came in here and asked, and you agreed to store two suitcases full of used notes for two nights without even asking who they were? Well, I'm a nice man, aren't I, Mr. Regan?
Maybe I'm a bit vulnerable.
You're a ponce, Reg, and everyone knows it. Now start talking. or we're going to give you a fucking kicking. That was always, that's always it in the Sweeney. Like, there's always leverage in other TV shows. That what happens is detectives use leverage against people who have information. Like, they say, well, you know, start talking or we're going to, we've got your, like, son on a drug charge and we'll make sure he has to do serve 3 months. Or they say, start talking or we'll do this or we'll do that. But in the Sweeney, they just go, start talking or, and you're waiting for the leverage. And they always say, we will kick your head in. And they just go, oh, okay, because they don't want their head kicked in. Anyway, that's what Reg reminds me of, one of those characters.
Yeah, very good. And then John Thor pushes him face down into an industrial-sized tub of Swarfiga on his way out.
Even though he has agreed to talk, he just does it because he wants satisfaction in some form or another.
Swarfiga, that's a deep dive.
Yeah,
Reg helps John Noakes up onto the base of the column. So, and John says, I'm a bit stiff, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We've discussed his costume for this epic endeavour.
He looks the business. He looks like the front man of a sort of a rock band. Do you know what I mean?
From 10 years early. You know, he looked like the baggy era.
Yeah, he looks like he's in the Stone Roses. Like he's got a bit of a Stone Roses haircut, cool pair of bell bottoms, hush puppies, and a sort of military field jacket. Yeah. It could be Ian Brown, but a nicer, less insane version.
Yeah. Well, he was still quite irascible, though, wasn't he? He's still a grumpy fucker. And he asks Reg, how high is it? And Reg says, oh, it's about 880 feet, I think. He's guessing the height. I think, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I loved, because all these, like,
no
measurements...
safety.
Nowadays, they'd bore you by talking about the detail. And for me, you know, like, all this kind of... I'm going to tell you, in overly excited terms, that's the Claire Balding sort of school of presenting. I'm going to be so excitable about some really dry facts now. And I'm going to go on about them in huge detail for a long time and re-explain them in quite patronising ways, right? And that's before we even get into it. Whereas what Noakes does is he puts you there in the human, authentic, emotional experience of climbing up Nelson's Column, which is not about the facts and the details. It's about how it makes you fucking feel. And how it makes Noakes feel, for most of it, is slightly scared, but not nearly as scared as most of us would be.
No, not at all. But of course, there's no health and safety, there's no kind of risk assessment. You know, these days they would know exactly to the millimetre how high Nelson's Column is. It would be all factored in to the whole plan and strategy of climbing it. But here it's just, oh, it's about 180 feet, I think. Well, we've got 450-foot ladders, so, you know, it's about 200, something like that. he asks how the ladders are fixed on. And Reg says, oh, they're wrapped quite firmly around the column itself. They're very secure-like, you know.
Yeah, they're very secure-like, don't worry. Anyway, Mr. Noakes, I wasn't led to believe that you'd be asking all of these slightly irritating questions. I was told that you would just turn up, climb up the fucking ladders and keep your mouth shut, mostly. I haven't come prepared with any of these facts because I find them boring and irrelevant. So could you stop asking things and get climbing? All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Reg goes up first with John Noakes following him. And over the voiceover bit, he says that he did this before. He did this in 1968 on Blue Peter.
Yeah, so it's his second. Bastard.
If he's learned nothing at all from already going up this thing once, he's doing it again. But he says even then it was easier last time because Nelson's Column was surrounded by scaffolding, and he says it was a fairly gentle climb from one stage to the next.
Yeah, it's just a load of scaffolding.
So he's gone up in stages. But this time it's just whack a massive ladder
straight
against the
up.
Side of Nelson's Column. Tie a rope around it and up you go.
Yeah.
He's going up, he's doing it. He says, that first bit of the ladder doesn't half wobble.
But he's not that brilliant. Bothered. He sort of makes little jokes about it. But
he's playing to the gallery, isn't he?
He's not acting brave. Like nowadays you get all these fucking self-styled hard men like your Bear Grylls and all these other fuckers, you know, and they're all on telly, and they really fucking big it up, don't they, about how hard and fearless they are. Whereas, like, Noakes does this shit and just doesn't... He's like... I don't know, he's sort of, like, casual about it in a way that doesn't feel contrived.
Yeah, why not?
And he's like, oh, it's a bit wobbly, I'm a bit scared. And it just sounds really honest when he says it.
Yeah.
I am moderately concerned for my safety.
I won't lie. I'm beginning to regret wearing these flares now.
They're getting in the way.
And then he says, by gum, which is a brilliant phrase. By gum. By gum, he says, it's only held on with rope against the lightning conductor.
And he doesn't say, I wish someone had told me that before I started climbing.
Yeah.
No one told me anything. I did ask Mrs. Baxter, and she said to keep her mouth shut.
There's a good bit where he has a rest halfway up. He says, I'll have a rest now. And he says, you have to, otherwise your muscles weaken.
Or something.
So that wouldn't be good. So he's just sat there on this ladder, halfway up Nelson's Column. I mean, I fucking replaced... I didn't replace it, but there was a roof tile had come loose at the bottom of my roof. And I've got one of them telescopic ladders where you just push it and it goes up and up and up.
Yeah.
Opens out. And I got up that to push this loose roof tile back into position a few months ago. And I was fucking terrified. And I was probably about 15 foot up at the most.
Yeah.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, heights seemingly like...
This is just...
Seemingly moderate heights, once you're fucking up at the top of them, can shit you right up.
Yeah. I thought this would be easy. I'll just get up there, push this tile back in, get down, have a cup of tea, watch Holmes Under the Hammer. No. Bricking it.
Make a note of potential deep dive into height or / high things.
Yeah. The Height Odyssey. Terry, the cameraman, who is the unsung hero of all of this.
That's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? When he just casually chucks in, Terry's already up there. And I think, what about Terry's climb?
Terry's already at the top.
No one fucking's bit, like, Noakes is the hero. What about Terry? He was up there first and he took a big fucking camera.
He's got a camera? Yeah.
And you know what cameras were like in 1978? They were fucking gigantic.
Yeah. I guess it must have had sound recording facilities as well, because... Fucking hell,
I wondered whether they might have got Terry up there. I was wondering whether they might have got Terry up there with a crane.
Maybe with a crane, maybe, I don't know, maybe with from a helicopter, load
him
down.
Or one of those, my favourite things, the scissor lift.
Oh, the scissor lift.
You know my obsession with the scissor lift. My ambition.
Once you start living the John Noakes life in a country house with all the fields and about your scissor lift in the garden.
First thing I'd do if I had any disposable income.
Buy a scissor lift.
Well, I'd be saving money on a mortgage if I moved to country, wouldn't I? And with the money that I was saving, I'd buy a scissor lift.
Yeah.
You can see all sorts. I mean, you know, if you wanted to see some boobs, scissor lift, get yourself a scissor lift and a pair of
360-degree boob possibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had that sketch idea that I tried to do on News
in the country,
where I was sending Ken Livingstone and George Galloway around London on a scissor lift, and their whole thing was to just try and look through windows at ladies' boobs. And then every time a lady spotted them, they'd go, wind it down, and the scissor lift carries on. Then we go to, like, gyms and schools and things like that. They've spotted us! Wind it down, keep going! There's a Virgin Active round the corner. There is a Virgin Active round the corner, where I believe there will be a wide and diverse array of absolutely top-notch bangers right now being towelled off in the changing room. It'll be the lunchtime rush. Office workers going for their daily exercise. This is where we will cash in lift with an eyeful of titties. Now, let me say, when I was leader of the GLC, we actually had... I could have women's breasts at will. It was part of my job description. And we didn't have to turn to the private sector to rent scissor lifts and try and catch surreptitious glimpses of breasts like we're doing today.
So, Noakes is having a rest on the ladder. Otherwise, his muscles might weaken and he might fall. And we will also take a rest at this opportunity, Sam. Because it feels like a nice pause point.
Yeah.
And we'll do the rest of this video next time. Because it's only 9 minutes long. We should get through the rest of it next week, I reckon.
Yeah.
And then we can move on to the time John Noakes cleaned the floodlights at Queen's Park Rangers.
I hope Terry Venables is involved. That's all I'm saying. That's a double act that for the ages. Yeah. John Noakes and Eltel.
Yeah. Try to get Noakes in the Euro 1996 coaching team. We only recruited Brian Robson.
Yeah.
John Noakes was his first choice, but Noakes was in Mallorca.
Yeah, and also Noakes was very bitter still about the whole Shep situation. It was very much like when he was invited to the Blue Peter reunion. He was like, won't do it. Won't do it, Terry. Sorry, it's nothing personal.
BBC, FA, it's all the establishment. Not interested.
It's all the same.
I moved on.
It's all run by toffs, cunts and dog haters.
I've grown me hair, Terry. It's below my shirt collar now.
Yeah. You don't
they used
need
to ban me from doing
it
that.
It would be bad for morale if you had me on the coaching staff looking like this. Whereas in Spain, it's de rigueur.
They love it. All right, that's it for this one. We'll be back next time. And it's just in case you're interested, this is the final episode that we've recorded in a big chunk of pre-records for holiday purposes.
Which is why we sound so excitable.
Doesn't it?
It feels we're going
quite
to
relieving
the continent
that we've got
now.
Through the massive schedule.
Time for me to hand my front door keys over to those three lunatics out of Broadmoor now.
Yeah, time to do that in but literally 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.